Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to the Arizona Mirror, brought to you each week at this time by Sun Sounds of Arizona. I'm Lauren Vicker, your volunteer broadcaster. This episode, on Thursday, January 8th, 2026, will feature articles that appeared in the Arizona Mirror over the past week. Since this program airs only once a week, some of the articles may be a bit dated and breaking stories may be added toward the end. The Arizona Mirror is an independent publication which sources stories from all over the state and the nation. We will focus primarily on stories that impact people in Arizona. We start this week's episode with two stories about Arizona Senator Mark Kelly. Our first story, Mark Kelly told troops not to follow illegal orders. Now Trump's Pentagon is targeting his rank and retirement pay. Arizona Democrat argues action violates constitutional protections and aims to silence criticism of Trump administration. By Jennifer Shute, January 5th, 2026. The Defense Department will attempt to downgrade Arizona Democratic Senator Mark Kelly's retirement rank and pay, seeking to punish him for making video along with other Democrats in Congress who told members of the military they didn't need to follow illegal orders. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth originally threatened to recall Kelly from military retirement and court-martial him for his participation in the video, but announced Monday that the department would instead try to downgrade his rank of captain as well as his retirement pay. Captain Kelly has been provided notice of the basis for this action and has 30 days to submit a response, Hegseth wrote in a social media post. The retirement grade determination process directed by Secretary Hegseth will be completed within 45 days. Hegseth added that Kelly's status as a sitting United States Senator does not exempt him from accountability, and further violations could result in further action. Kelly wrote in a social media post that he planned to challenge Hegseth's attempt to alter his retirement rank and pay, arguing it's an attempt to punish him for challenging the Trump administration. My rank and retirement are things that I earned through my service and sacrifice for this country. I got shot at. I missed holidays and birthdays. I commanded a space shuttle mission while my wife, Gabby, recovered from a gunshot wound to the head, all while proudly wearing the American flag on my shoulder, Kelly wrote. Generations of service members have made these same patriotic sacrifices for this country, earning the respect, appreciation, and rank they deserve. Kelly added that Hegseth's goal with the process is to send the message to every single retired service member that if they say something he or Donald Trump doesn't like, they will come after them the same way. It's outrageous and it is wrong. There is nothing more un-American than that. Constitutional protection. Members of Congress are generally protected under the Speech and Debate Clause of the U.S. Constitution, which states that unless a lawmaker is involved in treason, felony, and breach of the peace, they are privileged from arrest during their attendance at the session of their respective houses and in going to and returning from the same. And for any speech or debate in either house, they shall not be questioned in any other place. The Defense Department letter of censure to Kelly alleged that his participation in the video undermined the military chain of command, counseled disobedience, created confusion about duty, brought discredit upon the armed forces, and included conduct unbecoming of an officer. Hegseth wrote in that letter that if Kelly continues to engage in conduct prejudicial to good order and discipline, you may subject yourself to criminal prosecution or further administrative action. Allegations of misconduct. The Department of Defense posted in late November that officials were looking into serious allegations of misconduct against Kelly for appearing in the video. It didn't detail how Kelly might have violated the Uniform Code of Military Justice, but stated that a thorough review of these allegations has been initiated to determine further actions, which may include recall to active duty for court-martial proceedings or administrative measures. Hegseth referred the issue to Navy Secretary John Phelan for any review, consideration, and disposition he deemed appropriate. Hegseth then asked for a briefing on the outcome of the review by no later than December 10th. Kelly said during a press conference in early December, the military's investigation and a separate one by the FBI were designed to intimidate the six lawmakers in the video from speaking out against Trump. The lawmakers in the video, who have backgrounds in the military or intelligence agencies, told members of those communities that they can and must refuse illegal orders. No one has to carry out orders that violate the law or our Constitution. We know this is hard and that it's a difficult time to be a public servant, they said, but whether you're serving in the CIA, in the Army, or Navy, or the Air Force, your vigilance is critical. The other Democrats in the video, Michigan Senator Alyssa Slotkin, Colorado Representative Jason Crow, Pennsylvania Representatives Chris DeLuzzo and Chrissy Houlihan, and New Hampshire Representative Maggie Goodlander are not subject to the military justice system. Trump railed against the video a couple of days after it posted, saying the statements represented seditious behavior punishable by death. That concludes this first story. Mark Kelly told troops not to follow illegal orders. Now Trump's Pentagon is targeting his rank and retirement pay. The second story on this topic about Senator Mark Kelly. Arizona Democrats condemn Pentagon for punishing Mark Kelly over illegal orders video. By Jared McDonald Evoy, January 5th, 2026. U.S. Senator Mark Kelly and other Arizona Democrats condemned the announcement Monday from Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth that the Trump administration will try to downgrade the war hero and former astronaut's rank and reduce his retirement pay because he participated in a video reminding American troops that they are duty-bound to not follow illegal orders. Senator Mark Kelly has given more to this country than most ever will, flying 39 combat missions in Desert Storm and commanding multiple space shuttle missions, House Democratic Leader Oscar De Los Santos said in a statement to the Arizona Mirror. Instead of attacking an American hero, Donald Trump should be focused on what actually matters to families, lowering health care costs and fixing the affordability crisis he caused. Hegseth originally threatened to court-martial Kelly, a retired U.S. Navy captain, but posted on social media Monday that the department would seek to downgrade Kelly's rank and his retirement pay. Kelly has 30 days to submit a response. The retaliation stems from a November video featuring Kelly and other Democratic members of Congress who served in the military, in which they reminded active duty troops that they are required to refuse illegal orders they may receive. The video prompted President Donald Trump to call for Kelly and the others to be executed. Kelly, a Navy pilot from 1987 until 2011, flew 39 combat missions during Operation Desert Storm. He went on to become a test pilot and logged more than 5,000 hours in more than 50 different aircraft. Among his military honors, Kelly was awarded two Defense Superior Service Medals, one Legion of Merit, two Distinguished Flying Crosses, four Air Medals with Combat V, and two Navy Commendation Medals. In 1996, NASA selected him as a space shuttle pilot, and he flew missions to space in 2001, 2006, 2008, and 2011. The Arizona State Senate Democratic caucus rallied behind Kelly, saying in a statement that Kelly's comments reminded members of the military of a fundamental truth. Service members take an oath to the Constitution, not to any individual, and they are duty-bound to refuse unlawful orders. That is not sedition. It is the cornerstone of our democracy and the rule of law. The decision by Pete Hegseth and the Trump administration to censor Senator Kelly and open an investigation against him is a clear attempt to intimidate those who speak truth and uphold constitutional principles, Senate Democrats said. Arizona Senate Democrats, we see this for what it is, a distraction. While the Trump administration fixates on political vendettas and manufactured outrage, working families are struggling. U.S. Representative Adelita Grijalva, a Tucson Democrat, called the move disgraceful in a post on social media. Is this how veterans are treated now? Keep your mouth shut or we'll cut your hard-earned pension and demote you, Grijalva said. Republicans, meanwhile, sharply criticized Kelly and praised Trump and Hegseth for seeking to punish Arizona's senior senator. I'm retired from the military as well, and if I start publicly telling service members to disobey the commander-in-chief because he's issuing unlawful orders when he isn't, then I hope I am held accountable, Representative Nick Cupper, a Republican from Surprise, said in a post on social media that was shared by the Arizona House Republicans' official X account. Take your punishment like a man and learn from it. Senator Wendy Rogers, a Republican from Flagstaff, a retired U.S. Air Force pilot, shared Hegseth's announcement with a vague three-step plan that started with censure and then demotion, followed by a third step left blank. In an interview with the conservative Daily Signal, Rogers went as far as saying that Kelly's statements were a nod and a wink to commit sedition. The Arizona Republican Party took to social media to thank Hegseth for taking action and holding leaders accountable. Undermining military discipline puts politics ahead of our national security and defense priorities, the Republican Party said. Arizonans want leaders who respect the uniform, not ones who exploit it for headlines like Kelly. While Kelly's Republican colleagues with military backgrounds supported Hegseth's decision, other veterans came out in support of the senator. It is deeply disturbing that this administration sees a reminder about unlawful orders as a threat. Joanna Sweat, an Arizona-based Marine Corps veteran and National Organizing Director for Common Defense, a veteran-led progressive advocacy group, said in a statement, "This isn't about holding him accountable. It's about silencing dissent and scaring other service members and veterans from saying anything that challenges those in power. As someone who wore the uniform, that terrifies me because our troops need leaders who will stand up for the rule of law, not punish it." And that concludes this second story about Senator Kelly. Arizona Democrats condemn Pentagon for punishing Mark Kelly over illegal orders video. Our next story, AZ Supreme Court evacuated after homemade explosives found in package, by Gloria Rebecca Gomez, January 5th, 2026. The Arizona Supreme Court has been evacuated and the streets around it have been cordoned off by Phoenix police after a potential homemade explosive was found in the mailroom. Arizona's family reported that the evacuation occurred as early as 10:30 a.m. and that the Arizona Department of Education across the street from the court was also evacuated and shut down. In a message to employees, court staff warned that the building is closed, saying that the mailroom had received a package which had tested positive for homemade explosives. Phoenix Police Department officers closed off some streets around the court, which sits near West Jefferson Street and 15th Avenue, just west of downtown Phoenix. the Phoenix branch of the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms and Explosives wrote in a post on social media site X that an investigation was being conducted in response to a suspicious substance. The package received by the mailroom contained multiple vials, two of which tested positive for a homemade explosive substance, according to a joint statement released by the Arizona Department of Public Safety and the Arizona Supreme Court. As of Monday afternoon, the court buildings remain closed as law enforcement officials conduct additional searches. And that concludes this story. AZ Supreme Court evacuated after homemade explosives found in package. And of course, we'll bring any updates that we have as we're working on this recording. Our next story, Fontes vows to fight DOJ lawsuit over voter data, says he'd rather be jailed than comply. Critics say Trump's demand for all 50 states' voter data is effort to create national database targeting immigrants. By Jim Small, January 6, 2026. The U.S. Department of Justice sued Arizona Secretary of State Adrian Fontes on Tuesday because he has refused to grant the Trump administration access to the state's voter rolls, saying that he is violating federal law by failing to produce the records. Fontes, meanwhile, said he's prepared to be locked up if that's what it takes to protect the privacy of Arizona voters. They're going to have to put me in jail if they want this information and have somebody else give it to them because I'm not going to do it, he told Democracy Docket founder Mark Elias in a podcast interview recorded Tuesday, hours before the lawsuit was filed. Fontes, who did not respond to a request for comment from the Arizona Mirror, told Elias that the Trump administration is requesting he break the law, something he won't do. It's going to take a lot more than just a court order to get me to turn this stuff over. It's going to be a knockdown, drag-out fight, he added. I will not turn this data over as long as I am the Secretary of State here in Arizona. In a video posted on social media, Fontes responded to Jesus Oete, a top attorney at the DOJ's Civil Rights Division, who announced the lawsuit in a post on X, by telling him to, quote, pound sand. Arizona Attorney General Chris Mays said she will defend the state against the Trump administration's overreach. Arizonans' private voter registration information is not up for grabs. Both state and federal law prohibit the unrestricted release of Arizona's complete voter registration database to the DOJ, she said in an emailed statement. My office will continue to work with the Secretary of State to defend the private data of Arizona voters and safeguard our independent election systems. DOJ first asked Fontes to provide an unredacted electronic copy of Arizona's voter registration rolls in July 2025. The next month, he told the Trump administration that state and federal privacy laws bar him from doing so. The lawsuit alleges that the Civil Rights Act of 1960, which the DOJ describes as imposing a sweeping obligation on elected officials to retain and preserve election records, grants Attorney General Pam Bondi sweeping power to obtain these records. And there's a copy here of the USA v. Fontes complaint on voter roll access here in the story. While DOJ frames the request for voter roll information, it is seeking access to voter information in all 50 states as part of an effort to ensure compliance with federal voting laws. Voting rights advocates and other critics say its true aim is creating a national voter database in order to ferret out undocumented immigrants. President Donald Trump has repeatedly and falsely claimed that there are tens of millions of undocumented voters, something he has attempted to prove during his first term in an effort that failed to produce any evidence. Multiple studies have found that non-citizen voting is vanishingly rare and poses no meaningful threat to election integrity. And voters in 2004 required that everyone in Arizona provide proof of citizenship when they registered to vote. Arizona is the only state with such a law. In an amicus brief filed in a similar lawsuit over California's refusal to provide voter information, 17 former DOJ attorneys said the Trump administration is merely seeking to create a pretext to access voter data for its own nefarious purposes. While DOJ has provided a purpose for its requests, enforcing the NVRA, that purpose appears to be a stalking horse for its true purpose, to create a national voter roll and enable the federal government to conduct its own list maintenance to discover whether non-citizens or undocumented immigrants are registered to vote, they wrote. And a draft memorandum obtained last year by Stateline, a sister publication of The Mirror, shows DOJ plans to share voter data with the U.S. Department of Homeland Security, which would flag voters it believes are ineligible. States would then be expected to remove those voters from their rolls based on federal recommendations, a significant departure from traditional state control over election administration. Election experts and state officials have raised alarm about federal overreach into an area traditionally managed by states. Dax Goldstein of the State United Democracy Center called it a power grab and a fishing expedition meant to undermine state authority over elections. Fontes also expressed concern about who would have access to the data, saying at an April 2025 press conference that Trump's directive is asking us elections officials to turn your personal identifying information in these voter records over to the federal government, over to DOJ. And I can tell you right now, I don't want Elon Musk and his crew of incompetence taking those voter rolls away from our office, he added. Some critics fear that the Trump administration will disenfranchise voters in this year's midterm elections. Republicans hold a narrow and shrinking majority in Congress, and federal intrusion into state management of voter rolls could lead to large-scale purges of eligible voters based on faulty database matches. And that could particularly affect communities of color and students, groups that overwhelmingly back Democrats at the ballot box. This voter data could be misused to justify large-scale voter purges based on faulty database matching techniques cooked up by election deniers, ACLU senior attorney Ari Savitsky said last month. Federal overreach of this kind threatens voters' privacy and their fundamental right to participate in our democracy. That concludes this story. Fontes vows to fight DOJ lawsuit over voter data, says he'd rather be jailed than comply. Our next story, Arizona senators denounce Trump's rewriting of January 6 attack on anniversary of insurrection. Gallego proposes blocking military honors for Ashley Babbitt, while Kelly says pardons send dangerous message. By Gloria Rebecca Gomez, January 6, 2026. 5 years after a violent mob of Donald Trump supporters stormed the U.S. Capitol to overturn the results of the 2024 election, urged on by the president himself, Arizona's Democratic senators marked the anniversary by denouncing the ongoing efforts from Trump and Republicans to rewrite it as nothing more than a peaceful protest. Let's call it what it was. This was an insurrection, Senator Mark Kelly said on the floor of the U.S. Senate. An insurrection aimed at stopping the peaceful transfer of power. An insurrection aimed at overturning a free and fair election. It was not a protest. It was an assault on our democracy, echoed Senator Ruben Gallego. Trump has maintained that the incident was peaceful, going so far as to call it a, quote, day of love, and using his first day in office to issue pardons to nearly 1,600 people charged with attacking the U.S. Capitol. Ahead of the infamous event's anniversary, the White House unveiled a web page repeating the lie that the 2020 election was fraudulent and implying that U.S. Capitol Police caused the violence that ensued. In his speech, Kelly lambasted the bid to minimize and reframe the attack and particularly criticized Trump's pardons. These pardons do not just erase sentences, they send a message, he said. And the message is, it's okay for you to commit violent acts as long as they support Donald Trump. Kelly laid the blame for the attack on Trump, but acknowledged that the president is unlikely to accept responsibility for his role. On January 6th, the day Congress met to certify the results of the 2020 election, Trump held a rally where he riled up supporters and falsely claimed that the election was stolen from him. The rally followed months of misinformation spread by the Trump campaign and his supporters about the election and multiple attempts to convince election officials in several states to overturn their results. Kelly called on his Republican colleagues, many of whom fled to safety as rioters sought to break down the doors of the Senate chamber, to be truthful about the January 6th insurrection. "We know who Donald Trump is," he said. "We know he won't take responsibility for this. I am under no illusion. We also know that he is not the man to unite our country, and I do not expect him to change. We also can't expect these challenges to our democracy to be solved by somebody else or just go away with time. So we have to start being honest about what happened and clear about who caused it." Gallegos similarly emphasized that the events of January 6th constituted an attack and not a protest, as many Republicans have sought to characterize it. He also lambasted the Trump administration's decision to grant Ashley Babbitt military funeral honors. Babbitt, an Air Force veteran, was shot and killed by a Capitol Police officer while she was climbing through a broken window in a locked door that led to the U.S. House of Representatives on January 6th. The Biden administration previously denied her family's request for military funeral honors. Gallego, a veteran, said that Babbitt's actions that day disqualified her from receiving military honors because part of serving the country is upholding the U.S. Constitution. In response to the Trump administration's push for Babbitt to receive those military honors, Gallego proposed an amendment to the Defense Appropriations Bill that would prohibit taxpayer money from going towards that effort. "When you violate the law and betray your oath, you forfeit the privilege of military honors," he said. "If we equate the January 6th insurrection with genuine sacrifice, we cheapen everything our service members have done in defense of this country. We erode trust in our military, and we feed the dangerous lie that January 6th was anything other than a betrayal of our democracy." The legislation is unlikely to make it through the Republican-controlled chamber. State leaders also weighed in on the anniversary of the attack on the nation's capital, reflecting on the strength of U.S. elections and the work of law enforcement officials who defended election officials on January 6th. 5 years ago today, many elected officials, law enforcement officers, and public servants feared for their lives while doing their jobs, wrote Arizona Attorney General Chris Mays in a post on X. "At a time of rising political violence, it is more important than ever that we come together to protect democracy, justice, and public safety." Arizona Secretary of State Adrian Fontes shared an optimistic outlook on trust in American elections on Substack, pointing to the fact that voters still cast their ballots in the middle of the Civil War as proof that voting and the electoral system continues to be valued even amid fear. 5 years following the January 6th insurrection at our nation's capital, it is critical that we, as citizens and election officials alike, remain steadfast in our commitment to uphold democracy for generations to come, Fontes wrote. And that concludes this story. Arizona senators denounced Trump's rewriting of January 6th attack on anniversary of insurrection. You're listening to the Arizona Mirror, brought to you each week at this time by Sun Sounds of Arizona. I'm Lauren Vicker, your volunteer broadcaster. We begin the second half of our program with a look back at the Arizona Mirror's top 10 most read stories of 2025. By Caitlin Sievers, January 1st, 2026. The past year has been a wild one for news in Arizona, the nation, and the world. As we ring in the new year, the Arizona Mirror is looking back on its most popular stories from the last 12 months. Our most read stories of this year informed readers about the myriad impacts of the Trump administration's policies on Arizonans, especially indigenous people and immigrant communities, political drama in the legislature and state government, and the efforts of Arizona's Democratic congressional representatives to push back against the Trump administration and U.S. House Speaker Mike Johnson. Below are the top 10 most read stories on azmirror.com in 2025. Number 10, No Court, No Hearing. Trump revives fast-track deportations, expands reach nationwide. President Donald Trump's mass deportation efforts have been major news all year. In January, the Trump administration green-lighted fast-track deportation proceedings for immigrants living anywhere in the United States who couldn't prove more than 2 years of continuous presence in the country. Known as expedited removal, people detained under the policy were not entitled to a court hearing, but were subject to immediate expulsion from the country. This is a huge expansion that really sets up the groundwork for raids, rapid removal, and racial profiling, said Laura Belus, an attorney with the Florence Immigration and Refugee Rights Project. In Arizona, people without legal status who have lived in the country for fewer than 10 years are in the minority. The Migration Policy Institute estimated that around 273,000 immigrants who lack any kind of legal authorization call the Grand Canyon State home, and 72% have lived in the country for at least a decade. Number 9, Turning Point leader, former GOP representative, pleads guilty to attempted election fraud. Republican former state lawmaker Austin Smith pleaded guilty in November to charges stemming from his personal forgery of more than 100 voter signatures on petitions to make it onto the 2024 ballot for re-election. When he was first accused of forging the signatures in April 2024, Smith was a leader of Turning Point USA's advocacy arm, Turning Point Action, and was a member of the far-right Arizona Freedom Caucus. Smith, who had previously spread unfounded claims of fraud perpetrated by Democrats during the 2020 election, called the allegations ludicrous. But he quickly dropped his re-election bid and his job at Turning Point. In June 2025, after he'd resumed his job at Turning Point Action, a grand jury indicted Smith on 12 counts of fraud and forgery. In November, Smith entered into a plea agreement and pleaded guilty to one count of attempted fraudulent schemes and practices and to one count of illegal signing of an election petition. He's scheduled to be sentenced January 6th. Number 8, Johnson sets record refusing to swear in Adelita Grijalva for 36 days after she won election. U.S. Representative Adelita Grijalva unwillingly set a record when she hit day 36 of her wait to be sworn in to represent the state's 7th Congressional District. Mike Johnson, the Republican Speaker of the U.S. House of Representatives, refused to swear in Grijalva using a range of excuses, the most frequent of which was the federal government shutdown, which lasted from October 1 to November 12th. The Tucson Democrat was finally sworn in 50 days after she easily won a September 23rd special election in the deep blue Southern Arizona district formerly represented by her father, Raul Grijalva. The elder Grijalva died of cancer in March. Number 7. Two top Arizona health officials resign amid unprecedented politicization of process. Two of Arizona's top public health officials resigned rather than face an acrimonious confirmation process at the legislature, where Republicans used agency director hearings to play hardball politics with Democratic Governor Katie Hobbs and stymie her government. In April, Hobbs announced that Jenny Cunico, the director of the Arizona Department of Health Services, and Carmen Heredia, who headed the Arizona Health Care Cost Containment System, the state's Medicaid program, had stepped down from their positions. Heredia had been scheduled to go before the state Senate Committee on Director Nominations days before she resigned. In her announcement, Hobbs blamed the Republican majority for co-opting the confirmation process to attack her nominations on political grounds. Under Arizona law, the governor's agency picks are required to be vetted and approved or rejected by the state Senate. The process has historically been uneventful, with candidates facing interviews from lawmakers on committees relevant to the agencies they've been chosen for. But Hobbs' election prompted Republicans to set up an entirely new committee to vet her choices, and that has resulted in aggressive, hours-long interrogations that more closely resemble federal confirmation hearings. Number 6, Gallego and Kelly demand answers over planned closure of Phoenix BIA office. Arizona U.S. Senators Mark Kelly and Ruben Gallego in March expressed their concern to the General Services Administration about President Donald Trump's plan to close the Bureau of Indian Affairs in Phoenix and urged reconsideration. The BIA office in Phoenix is located on Central Avenue, south of Thomas Road. It serves 53 tribes in the western region, including 20 from Arizona. The office's planned lease termination date was August 31, but it was still open as of December 31. As of December 11, just 30% of the General Services Administration's planned lease terminations for the year had been finalized. Number 5. Political chaos erupts as Arizona Senate passes budget and ends session unilaterally. The Arizona state budgeting process in 2025 was particularly grueling and contentious. Republicans in the Arizona House of Representatives held up progress on the budget, the only task constitutionally required of the legislature, for weeks after they left negotiations with the Senate and Governor Katie Hobbs. Passing a state budget in Arizona requires approval from the Republican-led House and Senate, as well as from Hobbs, a Democrat. In an effort to force House Republicans to compromise after a tentative agreement fell apart, Republicans in the Arizona Senate voted to end the chamber's work for the legislative session at around 2 a.m. on June 20th, after passing its budget bills in a marathon of amendments and votes. The move angered House Republican leaders, but Republican Senate President Warren Peterson said it was necessary because House Republicans refused to work collaboratively on a budget. Most of the opposition in both chambers came from members of the far-right Arizona Freedom Caucus, who did their best to drag out the budgeting process with fruitless amendments and procedural holdups, angry that the rest of the legislature didn't acquiesce to their budget demands. The Senate's move was successful in forcing the House back to the negotiating table, and Hobbs finally signed a bipartisan $17.6 billion budget on June 27th, 3 days before the June 30th deadline to avoid a state government shutdown. Number 4. Tribal flags removed from Phoenix VA Hospital under new federal policy. when the flags of Arizona's 22 tribal nations were removed from the Carl T. Hayden VA Medical Center in central Phoenix on March 18th, the Salt River Pima Maricopa Indian community pushed back. I was surprised and appalled when the staff of the Phoenix Veterans Affairs Hospital dropped off all 22 Arizona Tribal Nation flags at our office, explaining that they could no longer display them. Ricardo Leonard, vice president of the Salt River Pima Maricopa Indian community, said in a statement. The move came on the heels of the U.S. Department of Defense deleting websites about the Navajo Code Talkers, who were instrumental to America's victory in the Pacific Theater in World War II. Not only is this nonsensical, but it dishonors all Native American veterans and their families who have given so much to protect this country, Leonard, a U.S. Army veteran, said. On March 20th, the Department of Defense restored the web pages about the Navajo Code Talkers. Days after the tribal flags were removed from the hospital, Governor Katie Hobbs took the flags and displayed them in her office. Number 3, GOP lawmaker calls for Dem Congresswoman to be executed for urging Trump protests. An Arizona State Representative, John Gillette, made headlines in 2025 with his extreme and racist comments. In September, he called for the execution of a Democratic Congresswoman because she urged people upset with President Donald Trump to protest in the streets. Gillette wrote on the social media site X that U.S. Representative Pramila Jayapal, a Democrat from Washington, was calling for the government to be overthrown and should be hanged. Until people like this that advocate for the overthrow of the American government are tried, convicted, and hanged, it will continue, Gillette said in response to a video of Jayapal. Gillette's comments about Jayapal came after some of his Democratic colleagues voiced concerns over his rhetoric after he castigated them for calling for civility and unity in the wake of the killing of conservative activist Charlie Kirk. In a message to all his fellow lawmakers that included a racial slur, he placed blame for political violence solely on Democrats and the political left, accusing them of stoking hate and violence against Republicans. He also came under fire for Islamophobic comments that led to an ethics complaint that was ultimately dismissed by the Republican chair of the House Ethics Committee. Number 2, Trump admin cancels $21 million in funding for schools and food banks to buy from Arizona farmers. The U.S. Department of Agriculture in March announced it was canceling roughly $1 billion in already promised spending on local food purchases for schools and food banks nationwide. For fiscal year 2025, Arizona had been awarded roughly $13.1 million to purchase food for schools and an additional $8.1 million to cover products for food banks. Those awards were canceled. USDA data shows that 392 Arizona farmers and food producers participated in the Local Food for Schools program, which provided funding for states to purchase food from local farmers and distribute it to schools and child care programs. After the cancellations, those farmers had to find other markets for their products. The bulk of the money, more than $4.8 million, went to farmers growing produce. And the number one red story of 2025 in the Arizona Mirror, reports of Navajo people being detained in immigration sweeps sparks concern from tribal leaders. As U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement intensified its efforts in January 2025 to apprehend and deport immigrants who lack legal status in the United States, concern increased among indigenous communities residing in urban areas about reports of Native people being detained. After President Donald Trump issued an executive order calling for an increase in ICE raids, Navajo tribal leaders received alarming reports that their tribal members in the valley were being detained, heightening uncertainties over the implications these actions have for their communities and the safety of their people. but Navajo Nation President Boo Nigrin told the Arizona Mirror that his office had heard the concerns coming into his office and circulating on social media about indigenous people in urban areas being detained by ICE. However, he said that his office had not been able to verify or successfully reach a Navajo person who had been detained. And that concludes this story, the Arizona Mirror's top 10 most read stories of 2025. Our next story, looking back, pardoned January 6 participants retrace march to Capitol as Trump rewrites attack narrative. House Democrats hold hearings criticizing pardons while Trump blames Pelosi and calls 2020 election, quote, crooked as hell. By Jacob Fischler and Ashley Murray, January 6, 2026. 5 years after a pro-Trump mob stormed the U.S. Capitol, the struggle to define the event and assign blame carried on in events across the city Tuesday that remain nonviolent, though still disturbing. A crowd of no more than a few hundred of President Donald Trump supporters commemorated the deadly attack with a somewhat subdued march from the Ellipse to the Capitol that was in stark contrast to the riot 5 years ago. Inside the Capitol, U.S. House Democrats gathered in a small meeting room, apparently unable to secure larger accommodations for an unofficial hearing that largely rehashed the findings of a House committee that spent 2022 investigating the attack. Trump, meanwhile, addressed House Republicans 3 miles west at the Kennedy Center. In an hour-plus address, he blamed then-House Speaker Nancy Pelosi for the violence on January 6, 2021, and recommended the GOP lawmakers pass laws to make election fraud more difficult. Trump's claim that his 2020 election loss was due to fraud sparked the 2021 attack. "Our elections are crooked as hell," he said, without citing evidence. House Dems blast pardons. Inside the Capitol, at a morning event that U.S. House Democrats organized and in which Republicans didn't partake, lawmakers and experts criticized Trump's pardons of people involved in the 2021 attack, one of his first acts after returning to office last year. They also decried his continued recasting of the events of the day. White House officials launched a webpage Tuesday that blamed the attacks on Democrats, again including Pelosi, and restated the lie that initiated the attack. The 2020 election that Donald Trump lost was marred by fraud and should not have been certified. Democrats masterfully reversed reality after January 6, the page read. In truth, it was the Democrats who staged the real insurrection by certifying a fraud-ridden election, ignoring widespread irregularities, and weaponizing federal agencies to hunt down dissenters. Pelosi at the hearing on Tuesday condemned Trump's version of the attack. Today, that president who incited that insurrection continues to lie about what happened that day, the California Democrat said. Other Democrats and their invited witnesses also described the pardons as signaling that the president accepted and even encouraged his supporters to pursue illegal means of keeping him in power. Brendan Ballew, a former U.S. Justice Department prosecutor who resigned shortly after Trump's 2025 pardons, told the panel the executive action sent Trump supporters the clear message they were above the law. The January 6 pardons also fit into a broader narrative of what's going on with this administration, that if people are sufficiently loyal and willing to support the president, either in words or financially, they will be put beyond the reach of the law, he added. It means that quite literally, for a certain group of people right now in America, the law does not apply to them. Former, quote, MAGA granny testifies. Homeland Security Committee ranking Democrat Benny Thompson of Mississippi led the panel discussion with Judiciary Committee ranking member Jamie Raskin of Maryland and several others also sitting in on it. The first panel of witnesses included Ballew, other experts, and Pamela Hemphill, a former Trump supporter from Idaho who traveled to the nation's capital 5 years ago to, quote, be part of the mob in support of the president before becoming an advocate for reckoning with the day's violence. An emotional Hemphill, 72, and once known as MAGA Granny, apologized to the U.S. Capitol police officers. Once I got away from the MAGA cult and started educating myself about January 6th, I knew what I did was wrong, Hemphill told the panel. I pleaded guilty to my crimes because I did the crime. I received due process, and the DOJ was not weaponized against me. Accepting that pardon would be lying about what happened on January the 6th, she added. She explained her decision to decline Trump's blanket pardon of offenders convicted of crimes related to the attack, saying it papered over the misdeeds of people involved in the riot. She implored others not to accept revisions of the narrative about what happened in the attack. Subsequent panels included current and former House members, including two, Republican Adam Kinzinger of Illinois and Democrat Elaine Loria of Virginia, who sat on the committee tasked with investigating the attack. Flowers for Ashley Babbitt. The crowd of marchers, which included pardoned January 6 attack participants, gathered in the late morning to retrace their path to the U.S. Capitol 5 years ago. Organizers billed the march as a memorial event to honor Ashley Babbitt, who was killed by U.S. Capitol Police during the riot in 2021 as she attempted to break into the House Speaker's lobby. The crowd of roughly a couple hundred walked from the Ellipse, where Trump spoke to rallygoers in 2021, to just outside the Capitol grounds, where police contained the small crowd on the lawn north of the reflecting pool. Law enforcement officers permitted Babbitt's mother, Michelle Witthoft, and a few others to walk closer to the Capitol to lay flowers at roughly 2:44 p.m. Eastern, the time they say Babbitt died. A group of counter-protesters briefly approached the demonstrators, yelling, "Traitors!" Police quickly formed two lines between the groups, heading off any clashes. Proud Boys' former leader on site. Among the crowd was former Proud Boys national leader Enrique Tarrio, who was sentenced to 22 years in federal prison for seditious conspiracy and other charges related to the January 6, 2021 attack. Trump commuted Tarrio's sentence upon taking office for his second term. While looking on at marchers, Tarrio told State's newsroom he was, quote, just supporting. It's not my event. I'm just trying to help them with organizing and marching people down the street, I guess. But we're here for one purpose, and that's to honor the lives of Ashley Babbitt and those who passed away that day. When asked if marchers were also honoring the police officers who died in the days and months after the attack, Tarrio said he mourned, quote, any loss of life, but added, I heard some suicides happened. I don't know. I haven't really looked into that. I've been in prison. U.S. Capitol Police Officer Brian Sicknick suffered injuries during the riot, according to the Capitol Police. He died the following day from natural causes, according to the District of Columbia Office of the Medical Examiner. Four responding police officers died by suicide in the following days and months. As the march continued, a group of Capitol Police and Metropolitan Police officers on bicycles stopped Tarrio and asked him to confirm the march route to avoid any, quote, confusion. When counter-protesters began to heckle the January 6 attack supporters, Tarrio waved the marchers forward. Come on, come on, keep moving. January 6 rioter Rasha Abdul Raheb, 45, of New Jersey, addressed the crowd earlier and thanked, quote, Daddy Trump for her pardon. Abdul Raheb, who pleaded guilty to parading, demonstrating, and picketing in the U.S. Capitol, showed off a tattoo on her arm reading MAGA 1776. Willie Connors, 57, of Bayonne, New Jersey, stood on the edge of the crowd with a yellow J6 flag tied around his neck. Connors said he didn't enter the Capitol during the 2021 attack, but said he was in the district that day to protest the 2020 presidential election, which he falsely claimed was, quote, robbed from Trump. Donald Trump, I'll take a bullet for that man. He's my president, Connors said. And that concludes this story, Pardon Gen 6 Participants Retrace March to Capitol as Trump Rewrites Attack Narrative. And finally, 5 years after January 6, dozens of pardon insurrectionists have been arrested again. The charges range from possession of child pornography to sexual assault, child molestation, and aggravated kidnapping. By Mariel Padilla of the 19th, January 6, 2026. When President Donald Trump, on the first day of his second term, granted clemency to nearly 1,600 people convicted in connection with the Capitol riot on January 6, 2021, Linnae Hanel Stunkel immediately set up a Google alert to track these individuals and see if they'd end up back in the criminal justice system. Hanel Stunkel, who works at a government watchdog nonprofit, said she didn't want people to forget the horror of the day, despite the president's insistence that it was a nonviolent event, a, quote, day of love. Hanel Stunkel, the digital director at Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics, CRU, in Washington, D.C., said the Google alerts came quickly. The list eventually became a more formal report, published in December, that identified at least 33 insurrectionists who have been rearrested, charged, or sentenced for other crimes since January 6, 2021. The charges range from possession of child pornography to sexual assault, child molestation, and aggravated kidnapping. Many incidents occurred before the pardons. Only 4 insurrectionists allegedly reoffended since receiving the pardons. I found it really disturbing that the pardons put people on the street again who had been held to account, Hanel Stunkel said. All that was swept away with the stroke of a pen, and that has consequences mostly for the women and children in the orbit of these insurrectionists. At least 6 of the pardoned insurrectionists are charged with committing child sex crimes. 5 were charged with illegal possession of weapons, including 2 who had previous domestic violence convictions, and 2 were charged with rape. Among them were John Daniel Andres, a man in Maryland who was sentenced to 60 days in jail in June 2025 after repeatedly violating a peace order, similar to a restraining order, submitted by the mother of his child. And we're going to have to end it there because that's all the time we have for this week's edition of the Arizona Mirror, brought to you each week by Sun Sounds of Arizona. I'm Lauren Vicker, your volunteer broadcaster. Remember, if you missed any part of this program or want to hear a story again, you can go to our website, sunsounds.org, and click on Demand Podcasts. Thanks so much for joining us this week. Stay tuned for more great programming from Sun Sounds of Arizona, and we'll look forward to having you join us again next week. Bye-bye.